It's time for our featured segment. It is called Mic Check, and Mic Check is sparking global changes. Changes around the world, ladies and gentlemen. And this year in particular, we're going to see some major changes. So far, the changes has begun. She was born the daughter of an Indian immigrant who was a scientist. The daughter of a Jamaican father who is a world-renowned professor. She once served as a district attorney. She also served as attorney general in the state of California. Then California sent her on to Washington, D.C. to be their senator. Then she became vice president. It is historic, ladies and gentlemen, because for the first time, a African-American woman, a black woman of immigrant descent, is now heading up the Democratic Party for president. Her name is Kamala Harris. And joining me this morning to have this historic conversation, this man once headed up the Reverend Jesse Jackson's presidential campaign rundown in Chicago when he ran for president. He's also a journalist. And if you have ever been to Abyssinian Baptist Church or know anything about Abyssinian Baptist Church, for the last 40 plus years, Mr. Bob Gore is the man behind the cameras there that take those lovely and wonderful pictures. This man has now joined us once again here on Groovin' Radio, the legendary Mr. Bob Gore. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good morning, my brother Clem. It is so good to hear your voice and to be back with you and your marvelous audience one more time.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bob Gore. It's always good to see you on Sunday in church, sir. And boy, the work continues, Mr. Gore, huh?
Well, I got to say, it is a great joy and thrill to see you in church. you stand out there consistently. People have grown to expect to see you every Sunday, and they love you greatly. You're such a handsome, tall brother. You stand out in the congregation.
Wow. Thank you so much, Bob. You know,
let me say this, because it's been a while since we spoke.
Uh-huh.
I read that since our last conversation on air, you were honored by Jamaica with a national honor.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I actually got national award last year. The family went down to Jamaica with me to receive my national award. And Bob, you know, it's an experience like no other. And you know, it is something that I never expected. But when it came, I received it, and I am wearing it with pride, Bob. I'm wearing it with pride.
Well, you are a humble warrior, but a warrior nonetheless. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Bob. Thank you so much. Well, once again, welcome to Groovin' Radio. You heard my little opening statement there for Mic Check this Saturday morning. She is the daughter of an Indian immigrant who was a scientist. She's also the daughter of a Jamaican father who is a world-renowned professor here in these United States. This is historic, Bob, because for the first time, we have a bona fide African-American woman heading up the Democratic Party, a major party in this country, for a presidential run. Kamala Harris. How historic is this, Bob Gore?
Well, first of all, I am excited almost beyond description with this opportunity for us to showcase our political potential, mm-hmm. but also elevate a person who I sincerely believe is going to win mm-hmm. the top office in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And but keep in mind, in the midst of all of our excitement and anticipation, her candidacy, her campaign is only 6 weeks old.
Yes.
And just think back how transformed our thinking has become. And how excited the country is. And in fact, the whole world is watching, as they say. And she's not only a stellar candidate, but she's getting historic support. You know, as someone who worked in a couple of campaigns in the past and was a state campaign manager for Reverend Jesse Jackson's campaign,
mm-hmm.
One indicator that impresses me the most, aside from her, the strength of her her platform, is her fundraising prowess. Mm-hmm. You know, as Percy Sutton once said to me, Brother Gore, money is the mother's milk of politics. And if you look at her campaign's performance in the first month of her candidacy, mm-hmm. $361 million, by the way, as opposed to Donald Trump's $130 million. It says that she has her candidacy resonates deeply with people because as your money goes, so does your heart and so does your participation. So, mm-hmm. you know, we've come a long way with this. Struggling since the Voting Rights Act of 65, opening up the doors to give us the privilege to register and to participate, and all of the struggles since then, and all those who preceded her, Shirley Chisholm mm-hmm. of 1972, mm-hmm. the first black woman, first woman, Jesse Jackson in 84, mm-hmm. Barack Obama in 08, but now we have a candidate, first woman, and I sincerely believe she's going to shatter that glass political ceiling.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is historic, Bob. It is historic. And when you look at the vice president's resume, district attorney, attorney general, U.S. senator, and a vice president, in terms of the experience, I don't think anyone else, no one else, male or female, has ever ran for president with such an impressive resume. Huh, Bob Gore?
Not only the resume, but she has been vetted. She has been tested. She has been observed closely for decades. I spoke to a California professor friend who said, you know, in California, if you don't perform well, we recall you. And she was much beloved as a district attorney, and she has performed at the highest level in all of her roles. She is superbly qualified, as you so indicate.
Mm.
Now, and she represents well. I mean, I must say that I'm eagerly anticipating the series of debates.
Yes.
Because I think that, you know, as a vice president, you don't get a lot of spotlight, as they say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she was doing the job of the vice president, being number two, not number one.
Yes.
You know, taking assignments behind the scenes, mm-hmm. but not competing at all for the limelight with the number one, the president. Now she's in the limelight herself. And we're going to see the depth of her ability, her compassion. But I so enjoy watching her at the mic. I hate to put it that way, but I just love watching her at the podium. She is absolutely spectacular.
You know, she is amazing. She is a very, very intelligent woman. And when I say she's very intelligent, ladies and gentlemen, just listen to how the vice president speak. And I, as you said, I don't think the world can wait to see these debates. And they're going to be very, very interested to see Kamala Harris take on the former president, Donald Trump. Now, you mentioned Shirley Chisholm in 1972. And Kamala Harris stands on the shoulder of this giant black woman who went to Congress way back then. You talk about the Reverend Jesse Jackson in 1984 and Barack Obama in 2008. You were there with the Reverend Jesse Jackson when he ran for president as one of his campaign manager. So you of all person, Bob Gore, knows well how grueling this is. Share with our listeners the kind of experience this is, being on the road in a presidential run. And I can't imagine now, years later, in with all the technology that we have today, the folks who are out there with the VP on this campaign trail. But share with us what it's like, Bob, to be in that atmosphere.
Hmm? Well, you know, you mentioned technology. I have to tell you, you know, I'm of the analog era, okay? I was active, you know, in the early days. But when I went to her website and saw how seamlessly they go from hello to signing you up for a phone bank participation mm-hmm. with seconds. Right. I mean, her whole campaign apparatus what we see is the front page. In the background is a very sophisticated, well-oiled operation, because they understand that in spite of our enthusiasm and the historic call that now is our time, mm-hmm. this is a very tight race. And elections are won and lost based on the activity on the ground and election day activity. Of mm-hmm. course, in my day, it was flyers underneath the door and ringing doorbells. Now it's a digital platform where not only do they quickly sign you up and find out where you want to participate and can you do it physically, or will you do it over the phone, and what group are you a part of, connect you with your social network, all with a click. I mean, it really is kind of mind-blowing, mm-hmm. but that's where we live in, and that's what it's going to take. In the same way that Barack Obama showed the world how to raise money digitally, she's taken the whole operation and organization into the digital arena. Mm-hmm. So in the coming days, I guess we're talking 70 days or so or less,
right.
she has to win this race, but she has all of the digital firepower necessary to back up the public presence. And I think that she's brought together not just Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Americans in general are showing enthusiasm because of the hope and promise, the intellect, and frankly, the choices we had prior to 7 weeks ago were not satisfying, at least to many of us.
Mm-hmm.
But now we see promise to truly make our country one whole and for my purposes, great in the eyes of the world.
Mm. You know, you talk about the generation that you come from, Bob, and being on the road and at that time. You know, it's night and day. You look at 1984 and you look at 2024, and so much has changed. But the energy though, Bob, the energy of being on the road with an individual, being a campaign manager for a person running for president, it must have taken you into places and areas that you probably never imagined you would go into, huh?
Well, you know, my territory was New York State, but, you know, I still, you know, we all have mementos from our past, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I have a memento from my little Secret Service lapel pin. When Jesse did a national debate televised on CBS.
Right.
Now, you know, there I was, you know, backstage. I mean, first of all, who could have imagined that an African-American man was going to stand for the president?
Yeah.
That wasn't even a dream for most of us. And then there I was, you know, offstage, watching his stellar performance. I mean, you know, first you got teary-eyed, your heart was full, but you also recognize that what he symbolized and what she symbolizes mm-hmm. is the great hope for many beyond our shores, not to mention those of us who struggled over the years for equal rights and human justice here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The doors they've opened and now revealed to all of us are places that, frankly, we didn't know existed. We were not in those rooms. But beyond that, the door beyond the doors.
Mm-hmm.
You see them opening doors, and we see hope for our children.
Mm. This is
we see hope for our environment.
Indeed.
We see hope for world peace. So that, yes, the immediate emotion is there. But beyond that, and we know there's struggles ahead. There is no presidency without issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have someone who is so capable. The question is, and I say this, you know, confidently, it's our election to lose, not hers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's got a 50-50 chance, right?
There's mm-hmm.
only two candidates.
Mm-hmm.
But it's our election to lose. And so we've got to roll up our sleeves and go beyond the satisfaction and joy of the moment.
Indeed.
And get involved in two levels.
Indeed.
We got to speak with our time and our effort, and we got to speak with our dollars.
Indeed.
If we do that, she will win. If we do not do that, it will be a missed opportunity.
Indeed. You know, this is real hope, Bob Gore. And ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Grooving Radio. We are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. And we're having a conversation, how historic it is to have an individual such as our sitting Vice President Kamala Harris running for president, heading up the Democratic Party in the 2024 presidential election run. This has never happened in these United States. Yes, we saw where in 1972, Shirley Chisholm ran for president as a black woman. We saw in 84, the Reverend Jesse Jackson ran for president as a black man. And then the historic election of Barack Obama, not once, but twice, in 2008 and in 2012. I took this from the pulpit of the Abyssinian Baptist Church from one of the Sunday's sermony, when they preached about unity, purpose, and love. And it is going to take all of this, Bob Gore. It is going to take all of this to get Kamala Harris to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, because we're going to have a purpose of why we want to vote for the vice president. We're going to have to unite. Yes, we're going to have to unite. And for the love of country, none of us would like to see the United States in the hands of the former president, Mr. Donald Trump. He has told us already of what he wants to do and what he would like to become, which is, he said he wants to be a dictator even for a day. If we don't get up and support and show unity, and for the purpose and for the love of country, we must support Kamala Harris, huh?
Well, you know, thank you for that plug for our pastor, Reverend Dr. Kevin Johnson.
Yes, indeed.
In his sermon on unity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, by the way, you know, our church is deeply engaged in voter registration.
Mm-hmm.
Because, quite frankly, if you're not registered, you can't participate.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who live within New York State in particular, the voter registration deadline is October 26th.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where some of us miss. Though you may have voted last time and you moved, you are no longer registered. If anything has changed in your address just across the hall, the apartment number, you are no longer registered. And so the deadline is October 26th. And this is stuff that we can do, stuff we have to do. It's great to applaud on the sidelines and help where we can with a few dollars and to volunteer. But if we don't get out and vote, New York is not a state in play. It's not a swing state. But, you know, we need to show that we are participating, not only in terms of our numbers, but bring in the ticket. Bring in those other candidates who favor our agenda by going to the polls and being there. But you got to be registered. And I say this because I know people I talk to, I say, you know, I know you got a nice new apartment, but you're no longer registered. They say, oh, really, Bob? I say, yes, really. You are no longer registered, and you have got to go down and get that voter registration form, do it online, whatever it takes, but get it done.
Mm, mm. You know, Bob, you go back to the 60s, the 1960s. Go back before we got civil rights, go back before we got voters' rights, and we have come a very far way. And it's important that folks need to know, if you are one of those individuals who can vote in this country, now is the time for you to really exercise that franchise. Because if you go back and look and saw what happened for us before we got voters' rights and civil rights in this country, and how many people have laid their lives on the line. Huh? Some people gave the ultimate price. They gave their life for us to be here today, Bob Gore, for us to be able to participate. Who will forget the Edmund Pettit's beating of the late congressman? Who can forget those things, Bob?
Well, you know, again, I go back to that era, in my first meeting and volunteer work with Dr. Martin Luther King and prior to the Voting Rights Act of 65. Not only could we not vote, we could not register. You did not dare show up in certain communities. And even in parts of the North, your vote didn't always count. You were not given easy and equal access to the voting process. And, you know, it was more than just the act of voting. It was a quality of life from which you were deprived because you did not participate in the governing process. You could not elect people who looked like you and reflected your agenda because you were deprived from the electoral process. People died, but even those of us who lived and survived suffered because we could not participate.
Right.
It's hard to talk to people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s about things that occurred, as they say, in the mid-last century. But the reality is that, as you repeated a couple of times, standing on the shoulders of Shirley Chisholm, Jesse Jackson, Barack Obama. This is how progress is built.
Right.
You don't participate, then you are destroying the opportunities that are available to you.
Indeed.
So being registered, participating in voting, take your kids to the polls with you. Let them see what happens. Let them see that you are participating. Talk to your friends. Hey, by the way, I noticed you moved. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Register, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's hands-on. It costs us nothing.
But yes.
The supreme price has been paid by others to give us this great but free privilege. We got to exercise it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and you look at the hope. You look at the hope here and what this means for young African-American women, young African-American girls in this country. Who would imagine, Mr. Bob Gore, who would imagine that when Kamala Harris was chosen as Joe Biden's running mate to be his vice president, who could imagine that less than 4 years later, she would be the one at the head of the ticket, heading up the Democratic Party going into this November election? And I want folks to understand this, Bob, and I'd like you to speak on this. The importance of all elections, not just a presidential election. And I say this now because if you look at the vice president's journey to where she is today, we're talking about from a district attorney to attorney general to a U.S. senator. If you all didn't vote it out there in California, she would not be here today. She would not be in the position that she's in today. So it shows you, Bob Gore, the importance and the consequences of elections. And that's where I want you to that's what I want you to speak on now. The consequences of not voting, Bob.
Well, her career path sort of plots the places where we have placed our hopes in the local and state arenas to make change for us. And it really is. Politics in America is more influential at the local level. Your streets, your schools, the criminal justice system, healthcare, that's all local. None of that is defined by the national agenda. And so it's people who are also on the ballot this year and each election who define the quality of your life, the quality of life in your community. They determine what happens in your children's schools. It's not the president. You know, they determine whether or not your food is safe. They determine whether or not your streets, you know, are safe. They determine whether or not there is health care available. They determine the nature of that health care. All of this happens at the local level. Now, she's paid the dues and gone through the steps that is taking her through all those various levels. So she's in touch with the local communities, which gives you a sense that she is real, grounded, earthy, and understands the real America, not just at the top line from the perspective of the Oval Office. But from our point of view, we've got to understand that actually those other offices are far more important to our day-to-day life. And the issues that we are concerned about, the things that are the top stories in our news, That's all determined by local elected officials. But when she wins, she will have what they call coattails.
Mm-hmm.
And those coattails will bring along other candidates, some of which we may not even know, but mm-hmm. they're going to be on the ballot from judges and others who happen to fall in that particular column on the ballot. Those coattails can bring in a wave of not only people who are striving to do well in the local community, but they're going to grow and emerge to be up to be higher candidates and hold higher office down the road. But the big thing is that you got to go and vote, which means you got to be registered, and you got to get your friends. Politics is a grassroots effort.
Indeed, indeed. You know, Bob, again, and I'm staying with this woman thing. I'm staying with the woman theme and the power of woman. Go back to the 70s again. Go back to when Shirley Chisholm first went to Congress as the first black woman to be elected in Congress. And you look at Washington, D.C. today, and you look at how many women are seated in the Congress. You look at how many women are seated in the Senate. And especially when we look at the women of colors, of color, who are seated there. There was a time when there was no woman of color seated in Congress. To a time today, ladies and gentlemen, where we are just weeks away. Yes, it is not impossible. We're just weeks away from seeing a black woman elected president of the United States. It is not impossible. Who knew that Barack Obama, an unknown Barack Obama from out of Chicago, would have been the first black man to be elected president of these United States? And today, when you look at how far woman has come in this country, Bob Gore, black woman has come in this country.
Right. Well, you know, I look, whether we're talking church, whether we're talking education, whether we're talking industry, this is the era of the woman, okay? Now, that's just and especially in the African-American communities, okay? Anything that is moving, hello?
I'm here, Bob, I'm here.
Anything that is moving and constructive is predominantly organized by, sustained by women. And this is our story. And I would say, I would guess offhand that at least half, if not a small margin more, of the Congressional Black Caucus are females now.
Well, I tell you this, Bob Gore. I tell you this. When President Joe Biden made that announcement that Sunday evening that he's no longer running for president and immediately endorsed his vice president, everything changed.
Yes, it did. And it's interesting, you know, while that debate was going on, and people were wondering who would be the replacement for, you know, Joe Biden, I think that one of the tipping points was the fact that women are the drivers in the political apparatus around the country, and that women, not only is it their time, but women will engage across race, ethnicity, and in some cases political lines to support Kamala Harris.
Now, that Sunday evening when that announcement was made, it was the impact was almost immediate, Bob Gore, in terms of the numbers of people who came on board, who volunteered to work for the Vice President Kamala Harris, run for president. Then also, when you look at the money machine behind Kamala Harris, it changed immediately. It changed immediately. And the other thing that changed immediately, think about this, because there was a tactics that the former president was using up until that point, and it was the age factor. Who is the old man running for president? But how quick things changed. That conversation has now changed, because when he was attacking Joe Biden about his age, He's now the oldest man running for president.
Right.
So the age factor is now on him. Huh?
It's huge. It's almost as huge as the gender factor. You know, Clem, I believe that, there are two levels to political engagement. One is what you serve to the public through the media, and the other is what goes on behind the scenes. I believe that Kamala Harris had the inside opportunity for this long before the announcement was made. The money shifted so quickly to her. As soon as the announcement was made, it said to me that some of these conversations had taken place earlier as a condition. Now, again, you can have all the good feel, you can have all the great resume, but if you don't have money, you can't make it happen in politics, and she has the money.
Indeed, yeah. Indeed. If elected, Bob Gore, what kind of president you think Kamala Harris would be? Huh?
I think she's going to be a great president. I think she's going to represent well. I think she's well-suited to function domestically and on the world stage with the many difficult issues our planet and our society is confronting. It is not an easy task. It will not be a cakewalk. But I think she's well-suited to confront and sit with and to gain the trust of other world leaders. I think her clarity, her directness, and her personality and style, as engaging as she is, will open the door to new relationships and new possibilities. Mm-hmm. As friendships emerge, so do deals, so do covenants, so do opportunities. And I think the whole world is waiting for America to resume, I shouldn't say resume, for America to take its leadership to a new level.
Mm. You know, the fact that she has served as a U.S. senator, the fact that she has served as a vice president, she's no stranger to the rest of the world. She's no stranger to world leaders. So it should be very easy. It should be very easy for Kamala Harris, elected president. It should be very. It should be an easier role for her to communicate with these world leaders. Because she has been there, huh, Bob?
I'm sure it's already happening. The smart money would already be on her appointment list. I think the smart money is already connecting with her about possibilities. You know, you don't want to wait until the waiting room is crowded. You want to make those contacts and show your support now, okay? So I have no doubt that, in fact, the money reflects that. Mm-hmm. The fundraising she's done reflects that. This isn't all grassroots small donations. You know, these are people who are willing to put substantial sums because they have substantial interests at stake. And they also believe that she is the right person for this time.
You know, I want to reflect a bit on the Democratic National Convention. And you know, you have seen many of these, Bob Gore. And over the years, when you look at these conventions and see who's standing there on the podium and who's actually talking back to America and talking to the world and talking back to the audience there, wherever these conventions are held. I mean, we never had no idea. We had, none of us had any idea that this year, presidential run would have turned out the way it turned out, to see a woman, a black woman, accepting that nomination to lead the Democratic Party into the 2024 presidential election. But when you look at the caliber of people that went up on that podium throughout the 4 days or the 5 days of the convention, a very impressive list of A-listers, Bob Gore, huh?
It was a true rainbow coalition. It was every category, every significant interest, every economic and cultural representation was right there for a reason. This is the America that is calling her, and this is the America that will elect her. She crossed all the categories, ticked off all the boxes, everything, young, old, and even Republicans, okay, were there, saying this is why we support her, not purely based on emotion, but pragmatic politics and the hope that their communities and their constituencies will be served by her presidency. And that's what you want. Mm-hmm. You know, she says, I'm going to be the president for all Americans.
Indeed.
And the convention reflected that. By the way, it was the best TV I've ever seen.
Ah. You know, Bob Gore, when you go back and you look at Dr. Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech. And if you sit and listen to that I Have a Dream speech, boy, profound then, profound today. But we have come a very far way, Bob Gore. We have come a very long way since Reconstruction. And today when we look out and we look out at the wider world and we see the journey of African American people, as we look at the journey for Black Americans and look how far they have come, it is indeed a real turning point in the history of this country. Speak on that, Bob Gore.
My hope is that you are correct. I am a little more pessimistic about turning the corner. I see it as part of our continuing journey. Because the long view still shows opposition to the things that are important to us, not only in terms of what we hope for, but turning the tide back on gains that we have achieved and other progressive peoples have achieved over the years. You know, Donald Trump's Project 2025 is going, this is the proposal put together by a variety of conservative organizations, including the Heritage Foundation and others, who are turning back the clock. And so some of the gains that happened since Reconstruction, they're targeting bit by bit and in other ways wholesale turning back, taking control of the various federal agencies and putting them under the president, eliminating the Department of Education. When you start talking about those agencies that have worked on behalf of the least of these, those agencies that have protected our interests both on the individual level and in the courts, they're talking about eliminating those safeguards. So, yes, this is a momentous occasion. Mm-hmm. Politically, we've come a long way, but this battle is not nearly half over. And so we've got to continue to be engaged as it is 1964 all over again.
Project 2025. I really don't think that is going to play out well for the former president in a debate with the vice president. They should be very careful and be mindful about what they present when they debate Kamala Harris. And as she said recently, she have dealt with his type. She knows the kind of person that she's dealing with. And with someone who is convicted on 34 felony counts, she's going to have a field day debating Donald Trump. Bob Gore?
I think it's going to be a tricky proposition, okay? I think that clearly she can handle him, right? That's no question. How she does that becomes very important. You know, you don't want the media saying the next day the angry Black woman, you know, reduced this white guy to a pool of tears. You know, she's a prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
People will say, can she handle herself? I said, she's a prosecutor. Okay, you know, but also, you know, in all sincerity, Project 2025. Has already been implemented. Some of the proposals that are there, created by, I don't know, 100 or so conservative groups around the country, that agenda is already in place. It just will be accelerated if Donald Trump is in office. Mm-hmm. You know, just stacking the Supreme Court, right? That's always been their agenda. Well, he made progress in his last term, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that again, I think they say the document is 800, 900 pages long. There's something in there for everybody that they're going to take away. So that yes, this election is important.
It is.
Yes, we believe she's going to win, and we're going to have to support her to stay on agenda, because they're going to be pressured to cause her to sway and change for convenience sake, because that's politics. But also, we got to be thinking beyond that, because just as you talked about the pipeline of people who spoke at the convention who are going to be the limelighters in the years to come, we got to support them. It starts at the city council level. It starts in New York at the community board level, you know? And if we engage there, and if we support and participate there, we don't have to worry about the presidency. Right now, we're kind of lacking in the local level, so we've got a lot of hope on the presidential level. But the long game is what we've got to play. And like I said, this Project 2025 concerns me, because it's such a comprehensive and boldly public agenda, renunciating our gains of the past, and with an open plan about reversing and turning them back.
You know, and once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are in our featured segment. You're listening to Groovin' Radio. We are in our featured segment, Mic Check, Sparking Global Changes. And we see changes happening here in these United States. Our conversation this morning is surrounding the Vice President, Kamala Harris, run for president, from a district attorney to attorney general to U.S. senator to the vice president, and now to the front runner, the person in the driver's seat over at the Democratic Party going into the 2024 November presidential election. Our special guest is the man who sat in the driver's seat in 1984 as a campaign manager for the Reverend Jesse Jackson in the New York State area, Mr. Bob Gore, the legendary journalist himself, having this historic conversation about Kamala's run for president. You know, we're worried about Project 2025. Yes, we are. And we have seen some of the things already in place. And you mentioned the Supreme Court. And who would imagine, Mr. Bob Gore, that we would be looking at a Supreme Court that a president can say, this is my Supreme Court. This Supreme Court is red, or this Supreme Court is blue. In your wildest imagination, Bob Gore, have you ever thought that this would have happened?
Well, you know, it wasn't something we anticipated, but I think we let our guard down. And I think that thinking about the ramifications of the presidency versus the personality of the president has made a big difference. And, you know, with lifetime appointments, undoing or altering that trajectory, it's going to be very, very difficult. Of course, you know, we have someone who will serve for 8 years. And in her tenure, there will be opportunities to replace others. But not just at the Supreme Court level. You know, throughout the whole network of the federal bench, up through the appeals level, because that's where these judges come from. You know, you groom them, you groom them at other levels of the judiciary, and when the opportunity happens, you can point to them as well qualified, which is what they aim for. So that, again, the long game for us, and again, look, we've got to start thinking about politics in the same way that we once did, where each opportunity gives us a chance to make an inroad. And again, it's a personal thing. It isn't just about the applause and the rah, 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 and maybe easily sending in, you know, a PayPal payment now and then. Yes, all that's good. All of that is important. But what are we doing in our household to participate?
Right.
What is happening? What role are we among our colleagues and children?
Right.
We give lip service to all of this.
Indeed. You know, Bob, recently, President Joe Biden has called for reform to the Supreme Court. And one of the things that he's asking for is term limits. Do you think this will happen in our lifetime? Do you think we will ever see the Supreme Court being reformed?
I hate to say no, but I don't see the path to that kind of alteration. Okay, I'm not sure, and I don't know enough about the constitutionality of this to determine whether this becomes a constitutional amendment or whether or not this becomes a referendum put to a popular vote. And quite honestly, you know, term limits serves those who want to see change versus right. in power. So, uh-huh. you know, all of this is a two-sided conversation, which can change with time and the makeup of the court. Uh-huh. I do believe though that there is a limit to our ability to function mm-hmm. at high levels uh-huh. based on our health.
Right.
Now, whether that's an age factor or not, it's hard to say. But that also might apply to the houses of Congress too.
Mm. So if and I hear you. I hear what you said, but then now the conversation that we were having when we noticed how Donald Trump was stacking the Supreme Court with conservative judges, there was a conversation that was happening that says, well, maybe the next president is going to change the amount of Supreme Court justice that we have and adding more Supreme Court justices, and then this would become something like just kicking the can down the road in terms of going ahead and just reform the court system. So now if Joe Biden administration had decided to say, okay, let's change courses, let's add more Supreme Court justices, and then we have a Republican president in the near future that says they want to add more Supreme Court justices, then this becomes a game, huh?
Well, again, how such changes take place, again, when you're opposed to the composition of any entity, then change may be your outsider strategy in this case. But how that change takes place and whether it is desirable, because the insulating the benefit of a lifetime appointment, which I think all federal judges enjoy, is a way of insulating them from the issues of selection, deselection, campaigning, all of that. If you know that your job is secure, then at least in theory, you're able to vote what you think mm-hmm. is the approach given your point of view.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. When President Joe Biden decided to step away, it reopened a conversation that was happening before Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. There were many folks who were saying that she should have resigned when she had an opportunity to resign, which would have given then President Barack Obama an opportunity to replace her on the Supreme Court, but she didn't. And a lot of folks were saying age was a factor. Her health issues was a factor. And it kind of brings all of this into play with President Joe Biden. When a lot of people, a lot of folks around him and a lot of folks out here like myself was looking in and we kept saying that maybe Joe should step aside. Maybe Joe should step aside and give someone younger an opportunity to run for president. And that conversation resurfaced. So it wasn't a bad idea when Joe Biden made that decision, huh?
Well, unlike the judiciary, money determines who succeeds at the national electoral presidential level, okay? So once you started having major donors going public withdrawing their support, that was a major salvo. That wasn't just a comment. That was the first nail in the coffin, as they used to say.
Mm-hmm.
If the presidential elections were publicly funded, he would probably still be there. And in all fairness, aging out is something that has happened at all levels of American politics. you know, power, tenure, and all that being an influencer goes along with how long, you know, you're in office. But once the backers say, we no longer can support you, then that changes the dialogue, okay? It changes it completely. And you have a strong person waiting in the wings so that with little time to transition to another candidate, the vice president becomes a natural replacement at the
indeed.
Top of the ticket.
Indeed, indeed. You know,
and because she was in the, she was part of the ticket, the Democratic ticket with Biden, she inherited the campaign fund.
You know, I wonder that Sunday evening when that announcement was made, I wonder how James Clyburn, Congressman, the whip down there in Washington, D.C., I wonder how that made him felt. But I want to tell you how this has changed a lot of people. A very good friend of mine who have been in this country for, I would say, close to 50 years, he said to me that for the first time in his lifetime, he has made a contribution to a political campaign, and he contributed to Kamala Harris's campaign. Just to show you the energy that has been put behind the vice president run for president of the United States. Hypothetically speaking now, Bob, come November 2024, Vice President Kamala Harris is elected president of these United States. What kind of moment do you think that would bring to America?
Well, I think that there is going to be great celebration. I think there's going to be, we all keep using the hope factor will be elevated. But, you know, the presidency in the U.S. comes with a very short honeymoon. What will follow will be the challenges that will test all of her skills and ability personally and that of her team. What I hope will be left is a residue of an energized local political base that will then take on the elections next year in New York State, New York City, for example, and will continue to be there. Because if we don't do that, and this is where the Republican Party, as a minority in the U.S., mm-hmm. is able to maintain control because of that continuity and that staying focused and on the agenda. It isn't. Donald Trump is a convenient head of the ticket, but the agenda will be in place no matter who that is. So we need to have a foundation and a political base that is sustained, because if we go away and let in New York City, New York State, the legislature and the city council and the local community boards go unattended, then we're not going to see any progress.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, Bob, I'll tell you this. In 2016, as we spoke about the most consequential election then 2020, the conversation came up about this election being the most consequential election. Then here in 2024, we're still talking about the most consequential election in our lifetime. Is it really so?
Well, let me say this. I think every election is consequential. Look, as someone said, God brings you into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Politics governs most of what happens in your life, and God determines when you leave. But in that middle, in that period, you know, that dash that they put on tombstones, it's the political arena that determines the distribution of goods and services in our country. And so everything that you want to have happen is going to have a political implication, if not directly governed by the political apparatus. What we need is a mind shift. And not continue to think about pushing the responsibility onto others.
Mm-hmm.
We got to own it. We need to leverage it, but we need to participate.
Mm.
And in this year, I'm trying. trying to give everybody I know a personal challenge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wow, wow, wow. Well, Mr. Bob Gore, I tell you, this one is historic, and we just want everyone to get on board. We want everyone to unite around the candidacy of Vice President Kamala Harris for president, and we want everyone to just share the messaging around the United States of how important it is to vote for Vice President Kamala Harris for president for 2024. Before you go this morning, Bob, we will end the election talk there. Before you go this morning, tomorrow is going to be homecoming at the Abyssinian Baptist Church. And then I want you to talk about the gala that's coming up, Bob, real quick. Talk about the gala that's coming up for Abyssinian.
Well, as many have heard, and some of you know personally, we have a new pastor, a gentleman I've known for a number of years, an exceptional leader, a deep thinker, a spirited preacher, and someone who has a vision for our church, but more importantly, has a vision for we as a people. Because our church is a historic house of worship. However, it is the hope that others have for us where we can continue to do the work of building our community, providing spiritual, being a beacon for spiritual life, and for showing us a better way. So to celebrate the arrival of our new pastor, Dr. Kevin Johnson, there will be a banquet at the church on September 27th, and then there'll be a formal installation on Sunday, September 29th, and we hope mm-hmm. everybody will come out to show their support, enjoy a wonderful service. There's much more going on that week, and you can find out all the details by going to abyssinian.org.
Indeed.
ABYSSINIAN.org. We welcome you and want you to, and if you can't join us in person, watch our services online from that same address.
Indeed. Indeed. And folks, I can tell you, you will definitely be in good company, and you will definitely enjoy some great worshiping. The spirituality there at the Abyssinian Baptist Church, bar none, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, from the pulpit, from the musical presentation, from the special guest speaker that they have almost on a weekly basis. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for a place to worship, look no further than the Abyssinian Baptist Church, celebrating, I think, 216 years of worshiping here in New York City. My special guest this morning is no other than the legendary man himself, Mr. Bob Gore. Thank you so much, Bob.
Well, thank you, and God bless you and your audience.
God bless you, Bob. And if I didn't have an appointment tomorrow, I would be seeing you, but I'll see you next week in church, sir.
Look forward to it, my brother.
One love. Take care, Bob. Take care. One love. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of our featured segment, Mic Check.